can't be a resource if you don't have your own resources. This is Wright Brennan with the Lost in the Midlands podcast, brought to you by C. Wright Roofing, and I'm really fired up today because I have Catherine Moyes here with Stella HR. She is visiting the podcast. Catherine, thanks so much for coming and hanging out today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Wright. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I had such a great time with you and Lindsay at y'all's recent event. Learned a ton. Lindsay actually came on before you. So I was like, well, getting Catherine on too. I'm really fired up to hear about what's going on professionally over with the business, et cetera, your journey. And I guess before we kind of get to like what's happening now, maybe we can talk about your beginnings, a little bit of the journey to today. So are you a local to the area or?
Yeah, I'm a local. I was born in Columbia, raised in Lexington, went to Columbia College for school, and never really left the area. I love Columbia and it's home for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Columbia, either stay or you leave and then you come back, like is what I did.
Pretty much.
Awesome. All right. So you went to Columbia College and then you graduated and you said, you know, I like HR a lot. What was the step one or step two after that?
Yeah. So it's funny because I hear a lot of career paths that aren't very linear nowadays, and my journey to HR wasn't super linear.
Yeah.
So when I went into school, I really just had one goal in mind for a career, and that was to help other people.
Love it.
So I really honed in on psychology and social work as my major.
Oh, wow.
And really had plans to be a therapist or counselor until about my junior year. And I also discovered at that time that I really enjoyed the analytical side and was taking some statistics classes and business management courses. And it kind of caused me to kind of shift my thinking and think about, you know, things that might be a better fit. I had a wonderful career coach at the time, and she said, you know, HR would be a very good fit for you.
Yeah.
And she ended up getting me an interview for an internship, which I was able to get and work as an HR program assistant for pretty much, you know, my junior and senior year of college and really get my feet wet. And, you know, so when I graduated, I was pretty sure about, you know, this is the field for me.
Yeah. Wow. And you said your major was psychology and
social work.
And you were thinking about being a therapist. And so it's really, you hadn't really changed the path. Like that's pretty much a lot of what's going on, right?
Yeah. Human resource professionals are pretty much the social workers of business.
Social workers. Fantastic. I love that. Okay. So you got into your first role as a, I guess like a backup, right? As an intern. How did that go? Did they put you on the front lines or?
I was on the front lines pretty quickly. So cool. I got a lot of exposure to employee relation issues. And basically in layman's terms, those are employee conflicts, investigations, and
Right out the gate.
And I wasn't directly involved in it as an intern.
Yeah.
But they started bringing me for note-taking purposes and then teaching me the ropes as I got more tenured. And so by the time I left, I was able to really have a really good understanding of how to conduct investigations, resolve conflicts, and how to appropriately, conduct an interview in the workplace. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, that is wild that they had – I guess that's the role. I mean, look, we have problems. The intern right in the middle of
it. Yes.
was any of it, I guess, was there any like kind of culture or like, you know, were any of the problems kind of a little more of a bombshell than you thought they were going to be? Like, wow, this is like really, or kind of were you prepared? I mean, it's human beings and you know.
I was prepared. I don't think there was anything I saw that was too terribly surprising. Like I couldn't really wrap my head around it. A lot of it comes down to communication issues and disagreements among different personality types, whether that be between supervisors and employees, employees and employees.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, individuals or human beings. Some people just make bad judgments and make a mistake in the workplace. And we have to deal with that appropriately.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. That's crazy. People make mistakes out here. Like, what's going on?
Never made a mistake, I'm sure.
Goodness. Very cool. So how long did you do that? Like, how long were you in that position?
I was in that position for about 9 months or so, and then left to finish up school. I worked part-time and went to school full-time during that time, and then focused full-time on my studies senior year. And then when I left, when I graduated, I got my first role as an HR business partner, kind of fully in the mix of everything HR. And
yeah,
that's really a strategic partner that partners with leadership, but also does a little bit of everything. So I love the generalist role where you have your hands in all aspects of the business.
Yeah. Got flexible resource. Hey, look, we got problems in all of our departments. Whichever problem's the biggest, you're like the fix it kind of person.
Which one do you want to address first?
Cool. And that was with the company around the Midlands area. I guess you were kind of still fantastic. And how long did you do that for?
I was in that role for about 2 years until it was a small family-owned company. When I say small, small is kind of relative. We were about 150 employees at the time with a team of three HR members. And it was a fantastic team. And we were eventually acquired by a larger company that had their own HR located in Chicago. I was given the opportunity to relocate to Chicago. But Columbia's really been home to me. And so I wasn't quite ready to pull that trigger. And
rock and roll. Very cool. And so you were like, no, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, yes.
And so you did say small, 150 people. So there's, I mean, there's a culture of 150. And then there's like the culture of like the small five-person team. And the next step was, what was the next team like?
So the next step was I had a very interesting opportunity. It was 2019. And I was looking around into HR roles and what may be a good next step. And I got a notice that the U.S. Census was hiring for HR professionals.
Wow.
And so I was able to be hired onto the project as a contractor. And our role as the HR team was to open up a call center, hire 700 people, manage the call center throughout the census, and then shut the call center down.
Wow. So, I mean... We need you to build an organization of 700 people real quick and then be prepared to let everybody go out the door. My gosh. And you were doing a lot of those interviews?
A lot of the, we had a recruiting team. And so I handled, in my first role, I did a lot of recruiting. So I was our in-house recruiter. I would do sourcing, interview process from start to finish, compensation, everything involved there. We did have a recruiting team. With Maximus was the company. It was Maximus Federal, and we did have a great recruiting team. So I wasn't as heavily involved in the interviews. Mainly the onboarding process was where I picked the employees up all the way to the offboarding.
Yeah, wow. What? So, I mean, my goodness, talk about like just getting reps, like just tons of. And that's the best way to get – so you got a lot of experience.
Absolutely. I was thinking, I was like, listen, you know, I think I want a challenge. And I got a challenge. Be careful what you wish for.
So wonderful. Was that like a year? Was it a season? Or
it was about a year where my contract ended. And I went to manufacturing after that. An opportunity presented where a local manufacturing firm was looking for an HR generalist.
Yeah.
I'd never been in manufacturing before.
Yeah.
And – I had several interviews. It was a very long interview process, which was great because I really got to know the company. I was hired on, and that was January of 2020. And so I had about 3 months to settle in and learn the role of manufacturing from an HR capacity, a new organization, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And that was such an interesting time to be in HR. That was a different set of challenges entirely because none of us were prepared for that.
Yeah. So did you, I mean, how did things shift for you guys? Did everything kind of the manufacturing lines continue to run? People were doing Zoom calls and.
Yeah. So we actually kept running because we were considered essential workers. We made metal mechanical seals. And so those would be used in really mission critical applications. So we could not stop the manufacturing process. However, we did take a lot of our admin staff. And it was really a challenge because we had engineers who could work from home, but they also needed to have visuals on the parts for quality inspection.
Yeah.
So it was a really difficult situation trying to navigate that and figure out how we could safely operate and still produce what we needed to for our customers while keeping our employees' health and safety top of mind. We ended up sending about half the leadership team home, and it was myself and my plant manager and our supply chain operations manager who stayed on site and kind of ran interference on the front lines.
Oh, wow. Very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
Very huge learning curve, a lot of opportunity. And But I'll tell you what, nothing brings together a team like a crisis. And it was a wonderful culture. And I was just very thankful to be with that team during that time.
Yeah, wow. Okay. So then you guys settle into COVID world. And then
Yes.
it comes, I guess at some point it kind of fades away, doesn't it? At some point. And how is that? How is the outro?
Gosh, the fading out.
Yeah.
So we had a huge focus on safety. Our that was one of our core company values, and so
Love that one.
we were a little bit more cautious about relinquishing COVID regulations as things progressed.
Yeah.
So while we brought employees back to the office, that had been previously working from home or in hybrid roles. We also still had mask ordinance in place.
Yeah.
We had contact tracing badges in order to, trace contacts.
Yeah.
So essentially, if one person was exposed to COVID, we would be able to advise who to appropriately quarantine
Yeah.
and cleaning protocols as well, just making sure we were disinfecting the plant because
Probably harder to outro than to intro this
it
because
was.
it was kind of a slow burn at the end.
It was, yeah. And we also were doing a large amount of COVID testing for our employees just
Yeah.
because we were in such close proximity to each other. It was extremely hard to stay 6 feet apart at some of our workstations. It just wasn't a feasible option.
Yeah.
So we put appropriate cautions in place like sneeze barriers and masks, the contact tracing badges I mentioned, and disinfecting as we went. However, there was always the possibility that you could be just a little too close to someone. So we did have mandatory COVID testing at a
Okay.
pretty frequent interval. So looking to start weaning that off and
Yeah.
then also starting to really hone in on our COVID leave procedure
Yeah.
as things kind of, I don't want to say normalized, but they did start normalizing a bit.
Yeah.
So really looking at this and saying, we're kind of out of the red. We're kind of in the yellow. How do we proceed at this point, and how is that going to impact our employee policies?
Yeah. Well, they had the right person for these challenges.
Oh,
My God.
thank you. Thank you very much.
After the census, 700 person buildup in Thai Town, I feel like you're pretty much prepared for just about anything. You handle this. So what's the so I guess that's like 23. How long were you there?
I was there for 3 years, and I started off as the HR generalist for Columbia, South
Okay.
Carolina.
Yeah.
And I was given the opportunity to have a lot of just seize a lot of opportunities from HR and work with a lot of great HR professionals. And there was no shortage of opportunities. And so I really just tried to embrace everyone I could. And
Cool.
so by the time I did leave, I was managing not only the Columbia, South Carolina facility, but also the DeLand, Florida facility and the Chicago, Illinois facility as the HR leader for the North America team.
Okay. You're a go-getter.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Okay, cool. So then at some point along this journey, you had like a little light bulb and you're like, I kind of want to start
I
my own
did.
thing.
And so I had a career path and I had some specific goals in mind. One was to go into a corporate setting
Yeah.
and go up through the ranks and manage multiple sites and be on the road essentially, which I was able to do. And I did start getting a little burned out from travel. And so really I started looking at my next goal, which was to I wanted to go back to a small business.
Yeah.
And that's really where I got my that's where my roots were, and that's where my heart was. And I wanted to start up an HR department from scratch where
Cool.
none had existed previously. And I really got that opportunity. I had a healthcare facility that reached out, and I went through the interview process and became their first HR director
Yeah,
for
wow.
their facility. And so I was able to establish a complete HR infrastructure, change payroll systems, benefits, the whole nine yards. We went
Yeah.
through a lot in a very short amount of time, especially when you've never had an HR department before. Really making sure that leaders understand that HR isn't the no person. We are here as a strategic thought partner. And I always tell people, I never say no without, if I ever say no, it's for a really, really good reason.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to say no without offering you an alternative solution and
Okay.
explaining why.
Yeah.
So,
Huh.
yeah, so I was able to, and I found so much fulfillment in the creation, the education, and really going through that change management process from, because the company was going through a lot of growth. And so I
Yeah.
really enjoyed having, HR in the mix of being a strategic growth partner
Yeah.
and a change management partner. And That was about the time I had been doing some consulting on the side, where I'd had some friends who owned businesses who I would get calls from and say, you know, hey, can I do a service swap with you?
Yeah.
Like,
I need help.
Exactly. Can you answer a question about leave and I'll give you a free dental cleaning?
You became a resource. We're going back to the quote.
Yes, exactly. So at that point, and I was starting to really kind of get this spark, you know, I think there's something else I'm meant to be doing. And it was hard to figure out, you know, and really kind of hone in on it, because corporate HR was what I knew and what I loved.
Yeah.
But I also felt the call that there was something else out there that I was going to love even more.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. So it became a bit of...
This is Wright Brennan, the owner of C-Wright Roofing. When it comes to the maintenance of your roof, you want to know that you have an experienced team that knows what they're doing. And with 10 years in the business, we check all the boxes. Leaky roof, storm damage, or just overdue on maintenance, give us a call at 803-828-4181 for a free estimate. Again, that's 803-828-4181. And remember, our commitment is to roof it the right way.
Became a bit of a big decision, I guess.
It was a very large decision.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people, either they kind of just fall into like owning a business out of necessity, or it becomes like a this giant fork in the road where you don't know which way to go.
Yes.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. And well, and you decided to open up. You decided to open up shop.
I did. So I founded Stellar Consulting, and I started offering HR services to small to mid-sized businesses in the Midlands.
Yeah.
And since then, I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
It's very exciting. It's been an absolutely wonderful year, full with amazing people, amazing connections, and really great customers, and not customers, well, clients.
Yeah.
That I have so enjoyed helping along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that is exciting. 1 year, big benchmark right there. So kudos. That's fantastic. So let's talk a little bit more about those services that you're helping other people with right now. There's so much different little, like within HR, I feel like there's a ton of like, you know, little buckets that, you know, of, are you full spectrum, or are we just focused?
Great question. So I have a focus in some specific areas where I really am in my zone of genius.
Yeah.
So compliance is a big one. And compliance is an ever needed thing for small business owners when it comes to HR.
Yeah.
Things change as companies scale and start to increase. They're met with different compliance obligations on a federal and state level.
Yeah.
And sometimes even if they're not growing, for example, the recent change in administration will often bring about changes, especially when you're going from one party to another, such as Democratic to Republican, because this new party is coming in and they're taking a look at policies and reshaping them to align with their values. So even if you're not in a period of growth, you may naturally by default be caught up in it.
Yeah, you got to make changes.
Yeah. So making sure that business owners are educated
on
what's going on. What does that mean for them? Do they need to be worried about it? And what do they need to do to be in compliance and make sure they're rolling this out appropriately to their team? Another big area that I'm a huge believer that you have your compliance and your culture, your company culture.
Okay.
And they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. But I'm a huge believer that you can have a happy marriage of the two without losing your culture, but still being legally compliant. So working with business owners to really hone in on what their culture is, what their value is, and what practices, you know, do we want to preserve here while still remaining in compliance with new changing legislation.
So when you say compliance, and kind of the other end being the culture piece, is that like, you know, your code of conduct? Like, hey, look, this is how, you know, the company expects you to act. And then this is also, and then the culture is kind of like just generally how everybody interacts based on the, you know, organic side of it. Is that, or so maybe another way to ask this, when you say compliance, is that like, you know, we're compliant with our credit card processing, or is there, so where is that?
Great question. It just depends on which level of, well, one, the organization size will determine what kind of legal compliance they are required to abide by. For example, Federal form I-9. That is something that all employers with at least one W-2 employee have to complete legally. And South Carolina has an extra level, which is E-Verify, which all private employers or public, private and public employers are required to complete as well. So having those, they're very government regulated, and they have very, very defined requirements around them. So there's really not a lot of wiggle room to say, you know, let's change the process because it's either you've completed it correctly or you have not completed it correctly. So that'd be a great example of the compliance side.
Yeah.
And then the culture side is really how do your business interacts on a day-to-day basis? And I always tell people, you know, you have a culture whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
And if you're not taking steps to, you know, shape your culture, the culture is going to shape itself based on the people that are inside of it.
Yeah.
And going into that is a lot of your company values. You know, how do we want to conduct business? How do we want to how do we want to present ourselves to the outside world? And how do we implement those values in the workplace on a day-to-day basis? A great example of the combination of two of them. So Federal Labor Standards Act dictates payment for, and I guess, let me start over. So Federal Labor Standards Act, or FLSA, has requirements and regulations around how you pay employees.
Okay.
So while I may come in to a small business and they may say, you know, we are paying, you know, we pay for performance and we reward people who, you know, work hard and produce.
Right. Okay.
But it turns out, you know, once you kind of dig into it, they are, but they're also not being consistent with the amounts they're paying or the structure in which they're paying. And there's not really any appropriate guidelines to, you know, direct managers as to this would be a incident where this employee should be compensated.
Yeah.
So really looking at, you know, how can we keep that culture of pay for performance and make it legally required, like legally, and make it legally compliant so we're not violating any kind of regulations.
Yeah, you can't just decide how you get $100 for that and you
get, and you get $500
and
for
you
that.
You get $500 for that because we like you too.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I see how that is quite a gray area for business owners and it's black and white for you. Yes, you can. No, you can't.
Yeah, but it's but you know, it's and most compliance issues when I come in and say, listen, there we have a compliance problem.
Yeah.
It was not done out of malicious intent.
Right.
I mean, I would say 99.999% of the time, it is never out of malicious intent. It is just business owners operating the best they can with what they have, with the information they have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can see how you get lost in, like, I forgot how much I paid so-and-so for this.
Absolutely.
But we'll pay you what, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What a needed service out
Thank
there.
Thank you. And another big thing I really love to help organizations with are accountability structures.
Yeah.
So I run into a lot of organizations where the business owners come to me and they feel incredibly overwhelmed. And like the business is running them and they're not running the business anymore. And it's usually due to inconsistent expectations, a lack of performance standards, or it's usually due to inconsistent or non-existent performance expectations.
Yeah.
Or a lack of accountability or lack of understanding on how to communicate that accountability to their employees and follow appropriate steps.
Yeah.
I truly believe there are ways, and every person is different. No right. two people will communicate the same. So
I was just about to say, humans aren't robots. You can tell them to do something and this is the goal and this is what we need. And then, you know, it's not just gonna happen.
And HR is like, it's an oxymoron. You have humans and you have resources.
Yeah.
You have the compliance piece, the culture piece, the
that
this is how the process works and here are the people involved.
Right.
There's processes and people, and you have to have a happy marriage of the two of those because no two people will communicate the same, but you have to make sure that you're applying policy consistently across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Very cool. Okay. What about challenges that you've – I mean, businesses have a million challenges, and you're like, perfect. I'm ready to come help all of you. But what about in your own journey, you know, over the past year, what's probably been one of the ones that is a hurdle you've jumped? You're like, oh, I didn't really see that coming.
Great question. So my husband owns his own business. My father owned his own business, and I never wanted to own my own business because of that. And they are very aware of that, so this shouldn't shock them. But so when I started my own business, I had a bit of an idea. I had an idea from living it as a spouse to an entrepreneur. However, being in the thick of it and learning to do some of the other aspects of the business besides human resources, including the accounting, the bookkeeping, finances, appropriately pricing things, and also really getting to know small business owners out there. And when I say small, I cater to small to mid-sized business owners, so typically people with at least five W-2 employees.
Cool.
Really getting to know what their particular challenges are and what the landscape and changing landscape looks like to them.
Yeah.
So I would say the marketing, the sales, the financial side, the budgeting, that was definitely a challenge going in just because I had no experience with that except for what I had learned in a corporate environment, which doesn't, it translates, but not entirely when you're running and operating the show.
Yeah, it's a little different.
it's very different. It's when it's all on you, it's there's a lot of questions and it's hard to find the answers.
Well, you are doing an amazing job. So kudos for finding these answers and being here to help businesses like my like C-Wright Roofing. So we appreciate that. So what advice would you give to somebody who's getting into HR?
Oh, to get into HR. So great advice that I got from my very first HR leader. She told me, she's like, if you ever, okay, this is like, I'm not gonna, that's a morbid one. It's, no, it's talking about firing people. Okay.
wait. So, it sounds like it was a good one.
The advice I received was if you ever terminate an employee and you don't feel anything, you need to get out of HR because you've lost your humanity. And that took me a while to learn that it wasn't always sadness. Sometimes it was disappointment. Sometimes it was anger.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was just, shock because you never thought that that would be the employee you'd have to let go that day
for
something they'd done. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be devastation or sadness, but there is an emotional component that comes with making these employment decisions and executing them. No matter how solid the details are, no matter how solid of a closed case it is, you are dealing with people and you yourself are also a person navigating this change.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What an interesting insight. You know, you got to have the empathy if you're very cool. I like that advice.
Thank you. And another piece of advice would be one of my philosophies is seek to understand.
Yeah.
And I have gone into so many situations where I was pretty sure I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask my questions.
Yeah.
And my clarifying questions, can you tell me about what happened here? And is there anything else going on? And the questions like you would need to probe further into the situation, make sure you have the whole picture.
Right.
And I have left those meetings being so happy that I asked those questions because I would have been incorrect. So really making sure you have a full understanding of not only what happened, why it happened, and why the person acted that way. So really making sure you have a complete overall picture before really making a decision on how to proceed with anything is a really critical skill to have. Always ask questions.
Yeah, I love that. You know, trying to get to all the facts before you start firing shots.
Yes, there's what do they say about assumptions? That makes an ass out of you and me. And that is very true in HR if you want. That's the Cliff Notes version.
That's pretty cool. Okay, well, so how do we find you? We're out here in the world and we got HR problems. We're listening right now like, my gosh, we need Catherine to come help us. How do we get in touch?
Absolutely. So my website is www.stellar, STELLAHR, consultingllc.com. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn. You can also give me a call directly at 803-404-1832 or email me at kmoyes@stellarconsulting.com.
Yeah.
I'm working with small to mid-sized businesses in the Carolinas and would really love to talk about the challenges going on. And even if I'm not a good fit for you, I will make sure that I can try to help you find the right resource. to get you going.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate all the work you've done over at C-Rite Roofing. Definitely, you know, would refer you to anybody who needs help.
Thank you.
And we'll have to follow back up in the future to see how you're doing. So thanks again.
Thank you, Red. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Hey everyone, many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.